We just had a small little breakout on Bitcoin here, and we're heading towards 70,000. But the truth is that this week, I'm not actually looking at Bitcoin. The truth is that this week, I'm actually looking at four narratives that may actually pop really quickly. And if you look at the bubbles, you can kind of see that one of the narratives that we're going to dig in today has started to pop. And if you look at it, it's this narrative over here. You got Beam up 11%. If you go to the top 200 coins, you'll see that there are a whole lot of other gaming coins, like YGG up 36.5%. Now, it looks like a small bubble. You know why it looks like a small bubble? Because if you look at the rest are so big. Here's Superfarm up 8.31%. So one of the narratives that I'm looking at this week is actually gaming. And we're going to do an entire gaming crypto altcoin tier list. But that's not the only gaming, the only narrative that I'm looking at this week. I'm looking at three other narratives this week. So we're getting a breakout in Bitcoin. We've got four altcoin narratives that I think we need to get in pretty quickly. We've had an amazing, amazing, amazing weekend. We had the meme coin show. We had the Bay show. And today I'm going to bring you another show full of alpha. So let's get going, guys. I swear, I still think I'm on a high from yesterday's show. I don't know if you guys watched yesterday's show. Did you guys watch the show yesterday where we were giving away the meme coin money? We ended up giving over $500,000 away last night on the show. And I promise you, I couldn't. My heart was when I got home, my heart was still beating. Let me know if you guys watched the show. Let me know if you guys maybe managed to get some of the giveaways that we did. If not, don't forget that we are doing exactly the same show again. So all you need to do is you need to send money to the Magic Wallet. Hold on, let me just open the Magic Wallet first. Let me just put my password in. Let me put that password in for you guys. Okay, so you remember to keep sending money into that wallet. Right now in that wallet, there is $65,000. I reckon by the end of the week, we'll have like $500,000. And then we're going to be giving away the $500,000 again. And we're going to probably do it every Sunday. I think it's such a cool format for a show where A, we get like, it was amazing. B, we change people's lives. I got messages from people last night saying, you know what? You absolutely, absolutely, absolutely changed my life. All these winners saying, like, one of them said I was down and out. I didn't know how I was going to pay my kids' education. And bang, you blessed me with $20,000. Some of you guys, geniuses, went and dumped the meme coins to zero. We gave you like a big meme coin. You went and dumped the meme coin price to zero. Geniuses, we can't help the geniuses out there. Anyway, listen, it's been an amazing weekend. I did a couple of shows this weekend. We did one show on base, and since yesterday, all those calls have absolutely, absolutely exploded. Today, bringing you more crypto love, more cryptoisms, bringing you four narratives that I would be getting into this week. The first one, as I said to you, is gaming, but there are three other narratives that we're going to get into this week, and I'll show you exactly why, and we're going to take a deep dive into some of those narratives. So, listen, yesterday, 7,000 people subscribed to our channel. So if you look at the channel now, we should be on like 807,000 subscribers, maybe even more. Let's just quickly have a look at how many subscribers Crypto Banter's got. 808,000. So what you need to do, you need to join the 808,000 people and subscribe to this channel. I mean, we must be now the fastest growing channel in crypto. Also, if you are already subscribed, just smash the like button, destroy, obliterate. I mean, come on, guys, like the amount of content that I've bought you in the last few days, the least you could do is just smash the like button. Anyway, let's get going with today's show. When we get 1,000 likes, I'm not gonna do that, but smash the like button. Let's get going. So let's look at where we actually are. So look, I'm not getting excited by a small breakout. Like these small breakouts don't excite me at all. But I'll show you what does actually excite me about this breakout. So for me, I'm looking at two things here. One is I'm looking for breakouts. This is a breakout from a trend that's been going on since about the 20th of May. So not a very long trend. What I want is I need this breakout to break up above this top level here. I also need this breakout to start gaining momentum. And I'll show you why we need the breakout to start gaining momentum. The big reason is because I uncovered this chart. And this chart shows that the leverage funds are now at record short positions on Bitcoin. And the thing that, what I think that they're doing is, I think that they're trading the top of the cycle here. And I think that they're kind of saying, look, we're going to go back down in the cycle, and then we're going to get this, cover our short positions. But if we break out, then what happens is we get this monumental short squeeze where this max short leverage position gets into a short squeeze, and then the problem is that that will send Bitcoin up to the next level. And so that is the one thing that I'm actually looking at. But the other thing that I'm looking at is I'm looking at charts that are, I would say, not necessarily crypto charts. So they do have something to do with crypto in that they talk to liquidity, right? So, you know, liquidity, central bank liquidity is a very big indicator of how risk assets are going to move. And we also know that Bitcoin is a big function of central bank liquidity of global liquidity. And right now you're seeing something very interesting. There's one chart that's actually not a crypto chart that a lot of crypto people are actually starting to look at. And they're saying that this is right now the most important chart in crypto. So we have a chart that is the most important chart in crypto, but it's not actually a crypto chart. What that chart actually is this chart over here. So what is this chart over here? It's the M1 money supply. It's the big money supply. It is the global money supply. Now, what you can see here is that I'm not the only one that's actually looking at this M1 money supply. Peter Brandt says that this is the best chart that he's seen today. So what is this chart? This chart is the M1 money supply. It looks like it is breaking out. Now, the last time that this M1 money supply actually broke out was over here. You can see that it was this period over here. So what is this period over here? This period over here was March 2017. So the last time that the M1 money supply broke out was March 2017. Now, why am I getting excited about this? Two reasons. One is we know that crypto is a function of liquidity. We also know, or we think, our thesis is that we are getting into a bigger global liquidity cycle. So we're getting into a cycle where there's increased global liquidity. And we know that global liquidity cycles, like every other cycle, go up, down, up, down, up, down. And it looks like we're recovering from the bottom. The more global liquidity, the higher the risk assets, the faster we get risk assets moving. And it's not only going to be things like Bitcoin, it's also going to be things like meme coins and meme stocks. And in that vein, I think we've now got, we've got GameStop up 45%. We'll talk about that in a couple of seconds. But what I'm looking at here is the following. We haven't had a breakout of this M1 money supply chart since March 2017. If I go to the charts and I go to March 2017 and I go to the charts and say, okay, where is this March 2017 that you speak of? This is March 2017. Now, it's kind of uncanny because if you kind of look where we are here and you say, okay, this is March 2017, this is March 2017, and then we got into this massive bull run, we're now in a very similar situation where we've been chopping sideways and it looks like the money supply has broken out. And ultimately, if you think about what crypto is, it's a function of liquidity. That's what Ralph Paul always says. He says, look, you can give me all the theories you want. It all comes down to liquidity. Either we're in a high liquidity cycle or in a low liquidity cycle. Who knows? Who cares about everything else? It's all about liquidity. If it is all about liquidity, then all I can say to you is that there has been a breakout in this money supply chart. And then, well, I don't know. I mean, where that takes you, Valhalla, beyond Valhalla, the moon. I don't know where that takes you, but it does take you very, very, very high. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that this is absolutely normal. This chopping that we've had, and we are on day like 96 or 97 of the chopping, even though, look, we are getting a little bit of a breakout here. We are getting a little bit of a breakout. We're looking like we're going to 70,000 here. We're looking like we're going to 70,000. But we are in day 96 of this sideways action. I'm going to call it sideways action, even though for us it's positive sideways action today. I'm still going to call it sideways action. It's absolutely, absolutely normal for a halving year when there's an election year. Generally, every single halving year, there's a 90 or a couple of days. So here it was from July until November. Here it was from May until November, where we move sideways. It generally does happen. And it's only to closer to the elections that we actually get the little pump up and then we actually break out and we actually continue to go through. I read this tweet and there were a couple of things that I read in this tweet. It's from Dan Crypto. And I think it's a tweet that we have to read if we're getting frustrated by the sideways movement. So he says, look, the first thing that you got to remember is the market is still way ahead of where it was in previous cycles. Okay. We were spoiled in this cycle. Why are we spoiled? Because we got the ETF. Imagine if we didn't have the Bitcoin ETF, then the sideways movement would really, 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 really move sideways, right? Now, this this sideways movement is less than we would have if we didn't have the ETF. I also saw this tweet over here, which kind of shows you all the cycles. We are on the white cycle here. And it's like, this is like a perfectly normal average cycle. Nothing's different about this cycle. The second thing is the dispersion of coins is what weighs on people's minds. It's a new thing and something that we'll have to get used to. Not every coin can pump all at once. Because we have so many tokens at the moment, they can't all pump at once. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today. It's all about narratives. You got to be in and out of narratives. Now, I don't say jump in and out of every shiny object, but you got to position yourselves in the narratives that you actually want to be in. And then the last thing is, remember that TradFi doesn't move as quickly as we move, right? We move really quickly. We decide we want to get into a narrative. We take our money out of our one token. We put it into the other token. We press the button and there we go. We go to Valhalla. But TradFi doesn't work like that. They work much, much, much slower than us. And what I realized this weekend is that we are living in this echo chamber, this bubble. And in this bubble, we think that everyone thinks like us. But this weekend, I had a reality check. And the reality check is that actually, most people don't think like us. Most people don't think as fast as we think. I mean, when you get a guy like Chamath, and like I really, really, really respect Chamath. I think he's one of the best investors out there. He's a very smart guy. Seems like quite a nice guy. Listen to what he's talking about.
Let's go to the first page. So why is this interesting? So here's a little Bitcoin price analysis for you guys. So there's been a couple of halving cycles that have happened. And I asked him to go back and look at the price performance 1 month after a halving, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and 18 months after a halving. And what you notice is that there are these moments initially where essentially when you go through a Bitcoin halving, people are sort of reassessing what's happening. And they're trying to figure it out. That's sort of what I would say happens in the first month and roughly what also happens in the first 3 months. But then within 6 months to a year and 18 months of these things, there are these crazy price appreciation cycles that happen. So that's what this page shows, which is, you know, 18
months. So he's talking about the halving. And just listen to his price targets. I hope this has got the price targets.
The Bitcoin price returned 45x. After the second halving, it returned almost 28x. And after this third halving, it returned almost an 8x, which is really incredible returns in such a short period of time. If you go to
So he carried on, this is on the All In Pod, you can go and listen to it. He goes and talks about it, and he kind of talks about a Bitcoin that could get to $500,000. Now, I mean, he's probably right. But what's interesting to me is that we spoke about the halving before the halving. These guys are speaking about, or have just woken up to the halving, but they've woken up to the halving after the halving. So it's like, it's kind of weird that we expect everyone to move as quickly as we move. And we forget that actually mainstream and specifically TradFi, who is now driving this market. Remember that now, because of the Bitcoin ETF, TradFi is actually driving the inflows into this market. Remember, TradFi has actually brought us, I think the number was $14 billion in the last couple of months. And crypto-related deposits, I mean, have probably brought you the same. TradFi is the one driving this market. And as Dan says, he says, TradFi doesn't allocate as quickly as we do to crypto narratives. It'll take time, especially after all the regulatory changes. It takes these guys time to process everything. The lucky thing for us is that whilst we are waiting for all these narratives to move, we are still getting amazing moves. I mean, just look at the moves that we've had. In a month, you've got Brett up 152%. You've got Notcoin up 196%. I actually might take a short on Notcoin. We'll talk about that in a second. You've got Ondo Finance up 71.27%. You've got Pepe up 73%. So the one thing that we can say is that, you know, even though it's moving sideways, at least if you're in crypto and you're in touch with the right narratives, there's actually stuff to be doing. I mean, just look at Notcoin. Notcoin is now up at $2.2 billion market cap. Let's just quickly go have a look here. It is at a market cap of $2.3 billion on Notcoin. Okay, that's where we're at on Notcoin. That's up 196%. You can see mainly the moves have been in meme coins. Because I guess whilst, as I said before, whilst the markets are moving sideways, and now we've just broken into $70,000 on Bitcoin, whilst the markets are moving sideways, the dopamine addicts, people like us, people who need the dopamine to survive, who came here for the dopamine, those guys need their fix. They don't care about the fact that the market is moving sideways. They need their fix. Where do they go to their fix? They go to the place that's the most illiquid and the easiest to move. What's that? That's meme coins, okay? So you'll see that as the market starts moving, probably the meme coins won't get as much attention. But for now, while the markets haven't been moving in the last month, at least we have had some movement on the meme coins. Now, I said to you, I'm thinking of maybe taking a short on Notcoin. And I'll tell you why I think I'm taking a short on Notcoin. First of all, I did take a short on Stargate. You know about that short on Stargate, right? We spoke about it. Let's see how that short on Stargate is actually doing. Right now, that's $17,000 up. I have paid a little bit in fees, in funding. You can see the funding rates over there. But I'm $17,000 up, or 80% up on that short. I'm going to hold that short for a little bit longer. I might open another short. The other short may be a short on Notcoin. Why? So GCR wrote this tweet. He said, getting messages from people who made tremendous amounts of wealth off this thesis, but wealth isn't wealth until it's realized. It's not a crime to secure some profits from coin that pumped off this thesis. When volume is bigger than market cap, then parabolas are often at final stages. So what does that mean? It means that when people are trading a token, when people are so excited about a token, right, then and the trading goes up, that's usually the end of the parabola. Now, what did I notice over here? Look at the market cap of Notcoin, $2.3 billion. Look at the 24-hour trading volume, $4.2 billion. Okay, now I say to myself, that seems to me, when I look at this chart, now remember, Notcoin is just a few days old. There's the parabola. It's starting to cool down. So to me, I may take a short on Notcoin. I'm waiting for this price to go up. If this price goes back up, it went up as high as 29, I may actually take a short, but not for a long time. The other thing that we have here is we have Roaring Kitty back. But except this time, Roaring Kitty has actually put his money where his mouth is, okay? So yesterday, you know who Roaring Kitty is? He was the guy who orchestrated the GameStop short squeeze, right? We spoke about Roaring Kitty last week. So Roaring Kitty has finally posted in Reddit after 3 years. What did he post? He posts that he has $115 million worth of GameStop shares, and he has $65 million worth of GameStop calls. So this guy's got exposure to $180 million worth of GameStop. And as soon as the market heard that he had it, I mean, the market went absolutely crazy. I was watching these.
$115 million worth of shares. Dude, holy shit. You know, the other week when Roaring Kitty, defucking value, posted all those memes all over Twitter and all the shills were like, oh, see, he's just a pump and dumper. No, he's not.
He's not a pump and dumper.
He just posted on Reddit for the first time in 3 years, and he posted a position update. And holy shit. The last position update, he had 200,000 shares worth $19 million of GameStop. Now he has 5 million shares.
Bro, so, yes, just- so the guy has $180 million worth of shares. As the market heard this, the GameStop is up 50% or 42%. Which means that I think about $1 billion would be underwater now. So about $1 billion are underwater. $1 billion worth of the hedge funds are actually underwater. So I think that could put some fuel on the fire when it comes to the meme coin, specifically if the markets don't run. If the markets do run, I think that there are probably three or four narratives that I really want to get into this week. And I'm going to show you why it's important that you get into those three or four narratives this week. Okay, so you remember I trade narratives. I mean, of course, I've got the main narratives, which I love for the bull market, but specifically, I'm looking at narratives. And right now, when I look at all the narratives and I look at all the bubbles, I'm seeing a couple of narratives that are starting to move, and I'm seeing a couple of narratives that you probably should get into. And if you're going to get into them, you should probably get into them this week. So let's get into those narratives. And then I want to deep dive into one of them, which is gaming. So, I mean, I guess the cat's out of the bag with the first narrative, which is gaming. The reason why I'm gung-ho on gaming is because if you look at how Web3 gaming has performed, it's been one of the worst performing narratives of the year. And to me, when something doesn't perform, if you can catch it exactly when it turns, then that is the best time to be catching a narrative. And there's two narratives right now, which I think have been beaten up, they ran very well in the beginning of the cycle, and now they haven't run for a long time. And I think the first one of those two narratives is actually starting to turn, and that is Web3 Gaming. So if you look at Web3 Gaming had an amazing, amazing run, but then it basically stopped. And I think if you want to see that in a chart, let's just quickly go and get like a CDFI chart. So let's just quickly get S-Fund CDFI chart. That'll probably show you the gaming narrative. So you can see that if you go to December, which is probably November, December, you had an amazing run in gaming. You started over here, you went all the way up here, you got 700%, or even if you want to go to the second top, you had 900%. But then since then, pretty much gaming has been on a decline. And I mean, I'm showing you one chart. We can look at other charts. Let's just look at it. I'm going to call random gaming charts up. PYR, Vulcan Forged. You can see that, again, another beautiful chart. And this is, I mean, one of the ones that we're very bullish on. Went up 300%. And then since then, it's come down, and it's down almost 50%, or just over 50%. So that is a narrative that looks like it's turning. And if you want to look at charts, we're on the one-day chart. You know, you can draw your trend lines. You could probably draw a trend line from here down. You can see that there's been a breakout of that trend line, etc. You can see that gaming may have actually just started turning. So the first narrative that I'm looking at, and we'll do a deep dive into it, and we'll actually do a full altcoin tier list, we'll go into the gaming narrative. The second narrative, which I'm looking at, was one that I told you that I am looking at, or that I would be looking at for a long, that I have been looking at, and that's Cosmos. Because if you look at the Cosmos tokens, Ansem actually pointed this out. I said it to you guys last week, and it seems like maybe Ansem is in our Discord group or something like that, because he picked up on it. And he said, look, the what happened with Kujira? It did really well in Q4 and it's been quiet for a while. But I think what he's not realizing is that it's actually not Kujira. It's actually the entire Cosmos ecosystem. Here's the Cosmos ecosystem. This is a very, very, very familiar pattern, okay? We started off in November. We went from here all the way down, all the way up to here. We made 1,000%, 10x returns. But then, since then, we are down. And we are down almost 80% on Kujira. But it's not only Kujira. It's actually all the Cosmos altcoins. Just look at Injective. So Injective, again, had that amazing, beautiful run in November, went all the way up 700%, and then bang, came down, and it is down about 50%, right? So it's not about 30%. We are seeing a narrative here. We are seeing something happen in the market. We are seeing that the market had a first run of certain narratives, and then the first run ended, and then we're going to go, and then we're probably getting into the second run. I think the first one to lead that is probably going to be gaming. We've been waiting for a while for gaming to wake up, and gaming seems to have finally woken up. I think the next one that will actually wake up for its second run of the cycle is actually Cosmos. So two ecosystems that I'm looking at, gaming and Cosmos. Those are two ecosystems that I'm looking at. The third ecosystem that I'm looking at, and tomorrow we're going to do a full deep dive list into this narrative, is actually real world assets. Now, the reason why I'm so bullish on real world assets, and the reason why we have to do the show tomorrow before the end of the week, is the following. One is, you can see that Ondo, and you can go into the next one. I think one of our sponsors is on here. Let's just see if it is on here. I know it was on the weekly. Let's look at it on the weekly. So here we go. Mantra, one of our sponsors. You can see that there's a real world asset narrative which is forming. Now, why is this real world asset narrative forming, and why is it so important that we get into real world assets this week? So the ETH ETF caught everyone off guard. And the massive narrative around the ETH ETF, the thing that Larry Fink is going to go onto TV and start talking about, he's going to start talking about real world assets, tokenization of assets, tokenization of everything.
Every stock, every bond will have its own basically CUSIP. It'll be on one general ledger. Every investor,
so
you and I will.
You can make an assumption that since this ETF has been approved, they are in these battle rooms or war rooms. They're preparing narratives, and probably one of the biggest narratives around real world, around the ETH ETF, is going to be real world assets. Now, this week, it's almost like coincidental, but we know it's not coincidental. We know that BlackRock is the one pulling the strings out there, right? This week, there is actually a subcommittee hearing. Okay, today, the chairman of the House Financial Services Committee, Patrick McHenry, announced the following hearing. Digital assets financial technology, and including entitled Next Generation Infrastructure, How Tokenization of Real World Assets Will Facilitate Efficient Markets. This is happening when the SEC is rushing everyone to push through their ETH ETFs. So I think we're going to get an ETH narrative. We spoke about that yesterday. But I also think we're going to get an ETH a real world asset tokenization narrative. Now, in this subcommittee hearing, one of the people that is testifying in the subcommittee hearing is Carlos Domingo. Now, who is Carlos Domingo? He is the co-founder of Securitize. Who is Securitize? Securitize is the firm that BlackRock invested into that launched BlackRock's Biddle fund. So he's going to be testifying. So I think that if you look at the fact that you got an ETH ETF approved, that the ETH ETF narrative is probably going to be, the TradFi narrative is probably going to be around real world asset tokenization, then you've got the hearing at the House Financial Committee hearing. And then you're getting this whole TradFi jumping onto the bandwagon here. So you're getting the Real World Assets Summit in Brussels, right? And then you're getting Delano, Luxembourg's financial and expat communities. They're writing a white paper saying tokenization. Everyone's starting to talk about this this real world asset tokenization. So tomorrow, we're going to deep dive into Ondo. We're going to deep dive into Ohm. Well, Mantra. We're going to deep dive into all the real world asset narratives. If that interests you, then be here tomorrow. Be here tomorrow. So I said to you guys that there are four narratives that I'd be looking at this week. First one, gaming. We're going to get into gaming. Second one, real world assets. We're going to get into real world assets. And of course, memes, but we're not going to talk about memes. The next one that I think we need to talk about is we need to talk about Arweave. So a lot of people have forgotten that Arweave said that they're going to have a big announcement this week, right? Arweave said going to be a big week. And if you remember, a while back, Arweave actually said 6 of the 6 at 11 EST, we made some major acquisitions to rapidly accelerate growth of PermaWeb, Arweave, plus the AO computer, plus Agent 5, plus something else is coming out this week. So we're going to be on alert on Thursday at 11, we have to be ready. We have to be on alert for Arweave. So narratives this week: 1, real world assets; 2, definitely Arweave; 3, that I'd be looking at, but maybe not in such a rush, is probably wait for Cosmos. Wait for the Cosmos breakout. As soon as you see the Cosmos breakout, have a Cosmos buy list ready. I mean, a lot of the Cosmos tokens are already on our buy list, and that is what you should be looking at. All right, so that takes us to the breakout that is actually happening right now, because there is a breakout that's actually happening right now. If you look at the bubbles, I showed it to you earlier. You can see Super is up 8%. You can see YGG up 7.3%. You can see Sandbox. That's up 3.28%. You got Ronin up 3.27%. So what I suggest that we need to do is you need to start positioning yourself for a gaming run. Because if we are about to get a gaming run, the gaming tokens have been absolutely, absolutely obliterated. I showed it to you earlier in this thing. I showed it to you. The gaming tokens have been completely obliterated. Everyone forgot about them. No one's been buying them. And we know that when they pump, that's going to be the mother of all pumps. Why is that the mother of all pumps? Because that's the mother of all mass adoption. And this cycle is actually all about mass adoption. So what I decided to do today was actually to maybe look at the gaming narratives or the gaming narrative and then actually create a tier list. Someone says Bubbles makes it very easy to see which narratives are running. So I just want to show you a quick trick on Bubbles. You go into Bubbles. You click on filter. No, you don't click on filter. You click on the top 100, top 200. You see where it says narratives. Just press view all. And that will show you the narratives that are actually running. And you can immediately see that the one that's running the most today is actually GameFi. You see, so that's the one that's running the most today. So that's a very easy thing to see which narrative is actually happening. Someone says farming Banter Bubbles. We're all farming Banter Bubbles. As soon as we can fix the login problems, 2 weeks later, we'll do the airdrop. As I said, we'll do the gummy airdrop. All right, so let's talk about the gaming narrative and which gaming tokens you should be buying. Now, I slapped together a list, and I'm going to do a full show with Hustle. But I think that what we need to look at is we need to look at some of the biggest gaming plays in this narrative, right? So I think, like with every narrative, you need to break up the narrative into the sub-narratives. And for gaming, what I've said is, look, you got the gaming chains, then you got the gaming studios, then you got the actual games themselves, then you got the launch pads, and then you've got like the absolute degen picks. Now, for me, what I like to do is I like to go much heavier on the infrastructure plays, and I don't like to put a lot of money into the actual games themselves. Even though the games themselves may or may not succeed, the problem is that the risk that a game won't succeed is very, very, very high. So what I like doing is I like breaking it down. I like going in from the chains to the studios, then going into the actual games, and then going into the launch pads. And so let's actually look at the chains that I'm bullish on. Now, I have omitted one chain, which, I mean, you can buy into Avalanche as a chain if you believe, because a lot of the sub-chains may actually be on Avalanche. But for me, what I decided to do for my gaming narrative play is to actually go onto Beam. Because what Beam is a sub-chain on Avalanche. To me, I think it's going to be one of the prominent gaming chains. I think it's a chain that specializes in gaming. It's got partnerships with Immutable, with Polygon. It's got its biggest investor, which is actually Pantera. So to me, Beam is one which I would have there. The next one that I'd be looking at Immutable X. Now, Immutable X is a layer 2 chain, effectively. It's an ETH layer 2, effectively. It's a specialized gaming chain. I reckon most of the big games are actually being built on Immutable. If you look at the growth on Immutable X, so I called up this chart of transaction counts, and you can see what's happened to the transaction counts on Immutable X recently. And so if you want to talk about like transactions being the metric, hold on, let's just allow, you could do that. Also, let's just quickly look at active users on a weekly basis. That's another chart which you're actually going to be looking at. Just look at the two charts when you put them together. Look at the growth in users and look at the growth in transactions, which is why for me, like the mother of all plays is actually Immutable X. Then from an infrastructure point of view, I want to go to two more, or three more. One of them is, I'm going to say high risk, okay? So the high risk one is Chromium. Now, I'll tell you why it's high risk. So Chromium is a infrastructure play. It's a layer one blockchain with a full infrastructure play. And it seems to be very, very, very targeted at gaming, right? Like if you look at just some of the games on Chromium. So My Neighbor Alice is one of the games that's on Chromium. You've got a whole lot of other games, Battle Derby. You've got this one, Cloudborne. You've got Mines of Delania. All of these are actually built on Chromium, using Chromium's infrastructure. But. The reason why I'm skeptical of this team is because this team has taken a long, long, long time to launch and develop. I mean, their mainnet has been in development for something like 4 years or 5 years. So to me, not 100% sure on this, but if it does work, I think that's where you're going to get the majority of the return. Okay, then there's two other ones. So Zai is you can call it a layer 3 because it's actually a layer 2 on Arbitrum, which is focused on gaming. Now, the reason why I'm so bullish right now on Zai is because I know that Arbitrum have a proposal to approve $300 million or $269 million. It's 250 million tokens from the Arbitrum DAO to develop gaming. And if they do, then I think one of the biggest custodians or recipients of that money is going to be Zai. So I think that one is one that actually could work. And then the last one when it comes to chains that I would actually rank is Ronin. Now, generally, I wouldn't look at Ronin. Ronin is the blockchain that the creator of Axie Infinity developed. And the reason why they did it is because Axie Infinity just couldn't work on any other blockchain at the time. So they went and built their own chain. And to be honest, I've kind of been sleeping on this chain. But when I look at their active users and when I look at their transactions, I'll show you their transaction count. So you can kind of see the transaction count and the active user count. You can kind of see that both of these are very much on an upward trajectory. And they talk a lot about the trajectory and the growth of the ecosystem. So this is one that I would be looking at. So those are the chains that I'd be looking at. And later on, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to show you how I'm putting those chains. Let's go on to the next part of the infrastructure on gaming. And that is the actual studio. So remember, to build a game, you need a chain. Then you get studios, and studios build multiple games. Okay, now the reason why I like platforms that build multiple games is because if the one game fails, you've always got the other game which can actually succeed. So you're kind of hedging your bets. Specifically, if they're well-funded, okay? So I'm looking for well-funded gaming studios with lots of games and lots of opportunities. So what are my picks here? First one is, of course, Super. Super Farm, Super Dial, Superverse, whatever they call themselves now. Elio came out and said that Super is the glue that binds all the gaming. Super is being integrated. It's the glue that binds all the gaming ecosystems together. So you can see that's what it is. You can see that Super up today. We saw it on the bubbles. There it is. Let me just quickly get back to this. So there we go. You've got, okay, it's a top 200, I think. Or has it made top 100 already? Okay, there we go. Up 8.49%, back over a dollar on Super Farm. I think that this is one that you have to have, and you can't write off Elio. You can't write off Elio. I mean, these guys, you just can't write them off. Okay, then you've got Echelon Prime. Now, remember, Echelon Prime, so as the research say, is doing something very interesting that a lot of people consider the next evolution of gaming by integrating AI gaming. So that's really what they're doing. The next one that I'm looking at is Vulcan Forged. So Vulcan Forged, again, one of the main studios, they've launched a chain. Now, their chain is called Elysium, and they are negotiating with a lot of AAA games to move those games actually onto Elysium, which is their own chain. So that's another one that I'd be looking at. Uncaged, this is, I think, the highest risk return in the entire gaming ecosystem. It's got a market cap of $7 million. The game is amazing. The team is amazing. This one just never, ever gets hype. So if they do get the hype one day, then it'll absolutely explode. And the last one which I'm looking at is Nakamoto Games. So Nakamoto Games, another Web3 gaming hub, tons and tons of users. You need to be invested in a wide array of studios. Then I move on to games. And I mean, look, when it comes to games, there's going to be a lot of games. I've chosen five games, which I think are for me, the best games in terms of adoption, in terms of actual usage. The first one is Big Time. You know that they were a sponsor of ours. I'm not sure that they're still sponsoring us. Let me see if I can show you something around Big Time. Anyway, so Big Time, one of the big ones that I'm actually looking at. The next one, which I'm looking at is Nine Heroes. This one has had over 200,000 downloads, 35,000 daily active users, 400,000 hours played. Let me just show you, see if I can get you some gameplay so that you can actually see it. So that's the Nine Heroes gameplay, so to speak, or you can see some of their graphics over here. So again, huge usage on this one. Crown, I mean, Crown is the virtual horse racing game. So you can see that it's called the game is called Photo Finish. And people are actually playing this game. Someone says, I won 2K last night in a free entry race at Photo Finish game. Was surreal. People are actually really playing these gaming things. These horse racing games. So from a gaming point of view, I've chosen five games. Big Time, Nine Heroes, Crown, Heroes of Mabia, and Forgotten Playland. Heroes of Mabia, 1 million downloads on the App Store. Just have a look at this. 1 million downloads on the App Store. I mean, you just can't argue with this when it comes to actual adoption. Just look at the graphics here. Just have a look at this. I think I wonder if it'll play. Let's see if it plays. I mean, I think it's pretty cool. Over 1 million downloads. All right, then we go on to two degen plays. One of them is CDFI. You've got to be buying the launch pads if you want into the games early. And I guess the best launch pad when it comes to all of this is definitely CDFI. I mean, we know this. They were also one of our sponsors in the beginning of the market in terms of ROIs on their returns. Look at this. The average all-time return ROI, 25x. Across all their projects, which is like, that's huge. Now, you want to be buying the gaming launch pads before the gaming mania starts. So if you look at CDFI here, if you look at them, I think they were at one point at like $5, and now they're back at $2.20. Yeah, they were at $5.50, and now they're back at $2.20. What's going to happen when the gaming run starts? The launch pad's going to run the quickest. So you want to be getting into the launch pad now if you believe that this is the beginning of a real gaming bull run. And then lastly, I mean, this is like real DGEN play, Beamcat. It's the official meme coin on Beam. So if you want to, it's got a $3.8 million market cap. If you want to go like really DGEN and you want to buy a meme coin on a gaming chain, then probably Beamcat is the one. So what I want to do now is I actually want to put these into A, B, C, and D in terms of how likely I would be to invest. But before we do that, I just want to remind you of a few things. The first thing I want to remind you of is the following. We have entered the BitGet trading competition. You can win up to $5 million. Now, I'm building a team. I want people to actually be trading with me. Right now, there are 154 people in my team. We have to get this number up. All you need to do is, it doesn't matter how you sign up for BitGet, go and sign up using this link or any other link, but then just join our team over here. That's the first thing that I need to remind you of. Second thing is, if you're farming airdrops, I may have something pretty interesting for you. So remember Bondex. Bondex is the, it's like the decentralized LinkedIn basically, right? They have their airdrop, which is happening. Now, in order to get the airdrop, all you got to do is you got to go up there and complete certain tasks. Now, season one of the airdrop is actually ending on Thursday. So you got like two more days to do it. Now, if you want to do it, you can actually get airdrop tokens or airdrop points for just like doing basic things like uploading a profile, for recommending people to jobs, for uploading a CV. All of those things actually get you tokens. So go and get it. You got until Thursday to get season one. Season two is only like in Q3 or Q4. So if you hurry up, you could actually get this done. There's a link below. Go to Bondex. Go and do it. Also, if you're looking for a crypto job, or if you know people that are good for crypto jobs, then go and do that at Bondex. All right. So let's go back into our tier list, and let's actually move these into tiers. So for me, tiers means how quality do I think these investments are, and how much urgency do I have to get them into my portfolio. Now, bear in mind that most of these tokens, if they are on our list, I've already decided that they are good to invest in. Now it's a case of how much risk am I willing to take. So, as I said to you before, the one that I'm least convinced about is Chromium. Why? I think it's a very good token. Remember, these are all tokens that I've already selected as tokens that I'd probably invest in. But in terms of how much risk there is in this one, I'm a little bit wary about how well this team can execute. So for me, I've put Chromium in this one. Then in terms of actual game, so let's start with Crown. So Crown I'm putting as B. Why? Because I think it's an amazing, 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 amazing game. But I'm less likely to put money into a game than I am to put money into an ecosystem like, for example, Immutable X. Immutable X is like my A grade. Beam is like my A grade. Those two are A grade for me. Now let's look at the rest of them. So in terms of games, Big Time would probably go here. Mavia would probably go here. Super Farm probably go here. Beamcat, I mean, it's a meme coin. I'd probably put it as to like the least likely that I am to invest. In terms of infrastructure, studios, Vulcan Forged, I'd put it into my top ones. Nakamoto Games, I'd probably put somewhere over here. Seedify, I'd put that here. Because, yeah, I mean, launch pads are probably a great investment. Uncaged, probably put that over here. Because if you catch the run on Uncaged, it flies. Zai, I'd probably put into my layer ones, What is FP? Let's just see what FP is. I don't know the logos. It's Forgotten Playland. There we go. Forgotten Playland, in terms of a game, I'd put the game here. I'd put that over here. What's that? What is this logo over here? So this one I'd put here. Ronin, I'm not a big fan of Ronin, but I mean, I guess you have to look at it. And what is that one? Okay, it's Echelon Prime. Okay, Echelon Prime, I would probably put here. So that is what my tier list actually looks like. It probably could be A, B, and C. We could probably get rid of the D. The infrastructure players are the ones that I'm most likely to invest in, then all the other players. And if you want to go really degen, then I'd probably go Chromium and Bobcat, but this is where you'd probably get the most return. Cool. So I think with that in mind, I will see you guys again tomorrow. Before we go though, I'm reminding you that I need you guys to join our BitGet trading competition. We need to build this team. I need to get this team to 250, 300 people by tomorrow. So go and sign up. Let's get this thing done together. Also, if you want to go and get the Bondex points, go and get the Bondex points so you can actually get the airdrop. I shall see you guys again tomorrow. Until then, trade well, my friends.